This is the sermon preached in St Paul's Anglican Church on the fourth Sunday after Trinity, the 27th of June, 2021. And the main reading for the sermon is the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning verse 7. Today we are resuming our alignment with the rest of the Anglican Church, having been out of step with it since the beginning of Lent. The decision with Episcopal support to follow the Orthodox date for Easter in this year alone was a bit of a gamble, but one that paid off. The relaxation of COVID regulations in Greece favoured only the Orthodox Easter date. Had we celebrated Easter according to the Latin or Western date, we would have had almost no liturgy in our church. That four-week difference in dates was significant, and in fact, there was a freshness to our Sundays this year because we were in Lent, Holy Week, Easter through to Pentecost, with the majority of the Greek people. But from today, we catch up and find that it's already the fourth Sunday after Trinity. There is a very neat parallelism in the passage from the Corinthian letter this morning. Paul urges the Corinthian church not only to be zealous in faith, speech, knowledge, eagerness, and so on, but also to be generous in their financial giving. This models the pattern of God's action in Christ. The small Christian communities well to the north of Corinth, up in Macedonia, have fallen on troubled times and substantial financial hardship. The apostle exhorts the Corinthian Christians to take their corporate responsibility seriously and, out of their resources, to send aid up to the north. In doing this, Paul is making a connection that he stresses in other parts of his correspondence, namely, that as the body of Christ, we're all linked to one another, like the limbs of a body are linked. So when one part of the body suffers, the whole body feels the pain. Just like if any one of us stubs a foot against a step, there is pain in the foot, yes, but the whole body feels the impact. If we feel pain in one part of our body, we may be inclined to take some sort of analgesic. And it's always baffled me how my effervescent paracetamol tablets know how to find their way to the part of my body that is hurting. In a funny way, this also emphasizes how the individual parts of the body are all interconnected. So it is between the Christian communities. One hurts, all feel pain, and we all should respond to the part of the healing. It is now a commonplace in our global Anglican Church that we are partnered with different parts of the world so that we can share each other's experiences, both the challenges and the joys. In the Diocese of Europe, we are so diverse geographically that we express this principle within our own diocesan life. So it is that St. Paul's Anglican Church, Athens, has benefited from more than once from diocesan-wide appeals, perhaps the most significant being several years ago at the height of the surge of refugees and migrants flooding into Greece in search of greater security and life potential. Smaller projects have received Episcopal support more recently. All of this is simply an extension of the fundamental principle expounded by St. Paul. So what is the parallelism I referred to a few moments ago? It's this: for you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. The Apostle expands on this elsewhere, in particular in the letter he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 2, where in what might be a very ancient creedal hymn of the primitive church, the self-emptying God, the kenotic God, is praised. So, here in Corinth, Paul is sharing the theology of the glorious divine richness, adopting the condition of poverty, not naively in the sense of financial poverty, but in the more general example of humility, of being one with the earth, one with the everyday life of people. Christ shares our condition, understands fully what it is to inhabit humanity, so that he can transform our condition through the weakness of the power of the cross. That's a phrase worth emphasizing, the weakness of the power of the cross. Through this transformation of humanity in the cross, we receive the riches of faith, hope, and love, life in the fruitfulness and bounty of the Holy Spirit, and life everlasting, referred to week by week in our creed. This is a very clever thing that St. Paul has written to the community in Corinth, for it sums up the whole process of our salvation in Christ and the sanctification that is the result of participating in Christ's life with one another. The parallelism is later well expressed by St. Irenaeus in the well-known bon mot or apophthegm. The Son of God became a son of man in order that the sons of men might become sons of God. Please forgive the gender-restricted language of the day. But the principle is the same. And we can see in these words the similarity with the parallelism used by St. Paul. Both exempla are about the nature of God, about our participation in the real and divine life of Christ, and through this, the transformation of our humanity. There is a well-known hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. The words are by Charles Wesley, who lived between 1707 and 1788. It's set to two different tunes in the hymn book, but you can't beat the tune called Blandwern. The first verse speaks of the love of God coming to earth and fixing in us his humble dwelling. But the final verse is the one that expresses sanctification, the whole purpose of God participating in our lives and we in his. It so lyrically expresses the principles that both Paul and Irenaeus are expounding. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. So, in a sense, we have three fine learning points this morning, all of which are consistent in summing up the faith. The Apostle Paul, St. Irenaeus from the 2nd, 3rd century, the Bishop of Lyon, and Charles Wesley's jewel of a hymn. We share in God's love, who shared it fully with us in Christ. In Christ we discover our truly authentic selves, who must share our rich discovery in every sense with others. Transformed with others by Christ, who is God with us, we are changed from glory into glory. Amen.